Good morning, everyone. Sound okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, Ephesians 5, 6 through 21. We're going to be finishing up this section of Ephesians 5. And our next lesson, which will be in January, will start out in verse 22, which has to do with the family. Husband, wife, parents, children, and then we'll get to, Lord willing, Ephesians chapter 6, which is so insightful about our battles, what happens, what is happening that we sometimes can feel, but we definitely cannot see. So let's just see if we can get this section done. I'd like someone to volunteer to read Ephesians 5, and you can do this right off the sheet if you want. Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 13, or verses 6 through 13, and then someone else, verses 14 through 21. Jerry. So Jerry's going to start with 6 through 13, and Sharon? Okay.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible.
For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, it is with great thanksgiving that we pause before you this morning, having the Word of God in our hands, the Word, the Spirit of God in our hearts, and just asking that you, by your power, would open our minds and our understanding to these words so that we could live by them and serve you through them. Thank you for this time together. We just thank you for the good fellowship that we have around Christ. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you know, there are times when the Word of God is in tension. And by that I mean there are commands that seem to go in one direction and commands that seem to go in exact opposite direction. And those are woven throughout the Scriptures. They're not errors. While we may not have perfect understanding, the Lord does, and what He writes in the Word is absolutely true. No question about it, it is absolutely true. And we kind of have a situation like that in the verses that we're looking at here. I want you to look at verse 32. In verse 12. It is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Okay? That's a principle. And then I want you to look at verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So, in verse 11, it says, take no part of the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then verse 12 says, it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So, do you see the tension there? And when I was reading this passage, I was thinking of Mark and Amber, the ministry that they have, which is basically revealing the secrets that are being done. And it's, on the one hand, it's a shameful thing to speak about them. On the other hand, we're commanded to expose them. And so there is a tension there, and I'm going to leave you to sort that out. But I believe that a people, a nation, a group, whatever, that refuses to expose the evil is destined to be trapped by it. And so you can sort that out, and I, for one, am thankful for Mark and Amber, and I think they have sorted this out correctly. But that's what this passage is about. So we're going to see that kind of unfold as we get down here to verses 14, 15, so forth. So let's go on. We looked at these verses very quickly. Verse 13 says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes what? It becomes visible. And that word kind of has the connotation, it becomes apparent. It becomes clear. But it has to be exposed by the light. And when the scripture says exposed by the light, what is that talking about? What is by the light? Pardon? By the light. It's the word, and it's also the people of God. The people, as has been described here in verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are what? You are light in the Lord. So when it talks about being exposed by the light, it can be describing being exposed by the word, but it also can be, and in this context would seem to be, being exposed by believers. Who else is going to expose the wickedness in this world, the wickedness that is permeating our society? Who else is going to do this? It's us, folks. It's us. If we don't do it, it isn't going to get done. God has put us, after He has saved us, He has allowed us to be left in this world in order to expose evil, and in so doing, we will help to turn other lives to Him. That's the principles that are given in Scripture. Verse 13, when anything is exposed by the light, It becomes visible. Let's look at some verses here. John 3:20 and 21 and Hebrews 4:13. Okay. John 3:20 and 21.
Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God.
So that is the direct contrast, easy for you to say, the direct contrast between those that are in the dark and those that are in the light. Hebrews 4:13.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes, of him whom we must give account.
Okay, and Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. Anybody?
Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. Is that right?
13.
Down to 13.
Besides, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about that concept of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Here Paul writes to the church at Rome and says, put on the new man, or put on Jesus Christ. We should strive every day. And by the way, that is not a particularly natural process. It is something that we have to strive at. That's the reason Paul talks about it so often. You have to work at it. You have to consciously examine yourself, look at what the old life is, put that off, and examine yourself as it relates to the new life in Christ, and try to put that on. Just let your life be governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's a little bit of controversy here about verse 14, and I'm going to share the contrasting interpretations. And then I'll tell you what's really right. Oh, mercy. Let there be tolerance. In verse 13, it says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So let's kind of take that as a set. Those verses are all tied together. You can't separate them and take this one all by itself. You take them all together. There are some people that feel, and very, very good Bible students, teachers that I really trust, and their interpretation is that verse 14 is talking about an insert for evangelism. Okay? And that thought, that interpretation is that awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And it's their interpretation of this passage is that Paul is shifting from talking to believers, he's talking to unsaved, and he's telling them to arise from the dead. And indeed, that's how you would get saved, right? Is to arise from the dead. But I'm not comfortable with that. Because it's very difficult to see that you have all of this in Ephesians chapter 5 that is written verse after verse after verse that is written to you and to me, and then all of a sudden he inserts one verse and it is intended to talk to unbelievers. And I find that difficult to be a good interpretation of Scripture. What I think, and by the way, there are some good Bible interpreters that have this opinion, and so I'm in good company here. So, verse 14. Anything that becomes visible is light, and he's just talked about that. Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Those two are tied together. I mean, it's the same thing. He's saying the same thing, just turning the words around, right? And then it says, therefore it says, and by the way, this passage, which is in quotes in your translation probably, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That looks like it's a quote, and it probably is. It is not a quote that is found specifically in Scripture. So, it's probably a passage that was used in the early church and was sort of bless you, you know, it's that kind of thing. It was just something that was in the church. It's not written in Scripture anywhere. But let's take a look at this and see how it would fit in context. For anything that becomes visible is light. Now, what is that? Who is that talking to? It's talking to us, right? He's saying, you are light. You make things visible. Things that are visible are light. He keeps switching that back and forth. And it says, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Who's the you?
Believer.
It's a believer. It's a believer. And I believe what Paul is saying here is that anything that becomes visible is light, and that's talking to a believer. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, why is he talking, if he's talking to believers, why is he calling us sleepers?
Because we're asleep at the switch, that's why. That's obvious.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because we're asleep at the switch. We're believers today, and we're in that, are the same as the believers that were there in at the time that Paul wrote this passage. We are asleep. We are asleep at the switch. We're not doing what we are supposed to be doing. And what are we supposed to be doing? All of the things that he's been talking about here. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even... Why is he telling us that? Because we're doing it. That's why. He's telling us that. Now look at the next words. After he says in verse 14, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Verse 15, "Look carefully then how," what? "How you walk." Now is there any question? Well, there is a question. In my mind, there is no question that verse 15 is an interpretation of what just came before that, and that is verse 14. "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead." Now, why would he say to believers, "Arise from the dead"?
Well, when we were unbelievers, we were among the dead. And when you come to know Christ, I mean, I think for a lot of people who come to know Christ, there's this thought that they can remain in the mix of the unbelievers and, you know, not really get out of that. But you've got to get out of that to grow in Christ and be able to shine.
Yep.
That's my thought.
That's a very good interpretation, very good thought. We need to grow. Mark?
Is it another way of saying, come out of the world?
Yes. Come out from among the dead. And he's going to talk about that several times, and we have the same thing in some of the scripture references. The scripture warns believers, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, that you not be partakers of their judgment." God is not sleeping as some count sleeping. He is tolerant, merciful, waiting for people to repent and turn to Christ. And so that's, we see the world today and we wonder why is God not judging this wickedness? And the answer is, he is merciful and gracious, waiting for people to repent, giving great mercy. And I believe this verse 14 fits right in with that. Because God is gracious and merciful and tolerant and does not judge sin immediately, believers often get to the point where they think, "Well, I did that and God didn't judge me. I think it's okay." And verse 14 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead." You're living like the dead. You are living like you were before you were saved. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be separate Be separate from the dead. Christ will shine on you. And what is his summary? Verses 15 and 16. And again, this isn't a disjointed message. It is all one thought. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Now what is he saying there? What does he mean when he says, look carefully how you walk? What is it? What does it mean when it says, look carefully how you walk? How you live. How you live. That's scriptural language for when it talks about how you're walking. It's scriptural language for how you're living your life. Look carefully then how you walk. Don't do it as unwise, but do it as wise. Okay. I've got a string of verses here, and I think we need to look at these. Proverbs 1:7, 1 Corinthians 14:20. Let's take a look at those two.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
There's that contrast between the wise and the unwise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the wise.
We don't have that today.
Yeah. Boy, that's really true. 1 Corinthians 14:20.
Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults.
Yeah. Now, what was the word, the very first word at the beginning of that passage?
Brothers.
Brothers. So who is that being addressed to? Believers. When you see brothers, it's talking to us. Brothers, and read that again, because that's to us.
Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults.
Yep. Translation? Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Stop thinking like children. And that's basically what he's saying back here in verse 14. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the unwise. Arise from the dead. Philippians 1:27.
Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Yeah. Paul says, you know, his ministry was to the church to serve the Lord as an ambassador. And he just wanted to hear feedback from the churches and say, I've heard of your testimony and it thrills my heart when I hear of your good works. Ephesians 2:2.
In which you are formerly walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience.
Yeah. You were that way. You were that way. You were the dead. Now, I'm telling you to arise from the other dead. From those who are dead like you were. Galatians 1:4.
For our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
Okay, according to the will of God our Father. 2 Corinthians 4:4.
Huh? blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Yep. They cannot see the end. The best use of your time, the best use of your time, the days are evil. That's I was just waiting for you to ask that because I knew that, because I don't have a good grasp of that. The days are evil, but the days are evil, and it is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a society, in a people who are dead, and they live like they're dead, and so the days are evil. And the scripture says that specifically. The days are evil. Jesus talked about that.
I'm thinking more about the unbelievers are blinded. They have no chance for redemption if God blinds them to the truth. That's what we're hung up.
Well, it says Satan is the one who blinds people to the truth. That is one of the ministries that he has. He specifically blinds unbelievers to the truth. They can see it, but they don't see it.
God lets them get away with that. He gave them that power. I don't know why.
You're asking a question that I cannot answer. Why did God allow him to have that? I don't know. But I can tell you this. The bigger question is, why does God love me so much that he took my blindness away? Why me? Why you? Why are you redeemed from this fallen world? Did you deserve it? Have you lived a life that is so blemish-free since you were saved that you can now say, I was glad I did that because he deserved it? Anybody willing to stick your hand up on that one? We live in God's grace, and all of those kinds of questions that I have, just like you have, why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow this to happen? Why does all of those things all just melt away, and I stand in his grace and say, thank you, Lord. And that's it. That's it. I thank him for the incredible grace. And someday, maybe, I'll understand those. I used to say, when we get to heaven, we're going to understand those things. And I have no scriptural ground to stand on, so I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say we think we might. But what we have to remember is that our God is infinite. And some of those things are hidden in him. And we may never understand them fully. But that will not stop us from saying, praise the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. May his grace just rest on us. So, look carefully how you walk, not unwise, but wise. Make the best use of your time because the days are evil. The days are filled with evil. And I think when I think about that verse, the days are evil, I think about Revelation 21 and 22, where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. The days are not going to be evil anymore. No sin, no sinners. Wow. Well, what is his clear admonition next in verse 5:17? Which is right here. What is his clear admonition next? 5:17.
Do not be foolish.
Yep. And who's he talking to here?
Believers.
And therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we kind of paused and chewed a little bit on this last part of verse 17. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So many times over the years, our churches that I've been in have had classes in understanding what the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is for you. And yet, very seldom has there been discussion about this verse. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, how are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is? It's in the book. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to say it's in all of this, because that can be overwhelming. We should study this, and we should commit as much of this to memory as the Lord would lead us to. But I'm going to narrow this down for you. Paul wrote it, the will of the Lord. It's right here in Ephesians. And in particular, it's in Ephesians 5. The will of the Lord. If you look in chapter 5, verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So there he's talking again about how you should live. You should live carefully, not as unwise. Colossians 4:5 and Proverbs 14:8. Let's look at those two verses. Colossians 4:5 and Proverbs 14:8.
Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time. Proverbs 14:8.
The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception.
Yep. Same thing that he's been talking about here, the wise and the foolish. Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
And do not be.
Go ahead.
No more. And do not conform. Do not be conformed for this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
So, do not be conformed to this world, put that off, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Colossians 1:9.
For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
So again, in the book of Colossians, as Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, he's praying for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8.
Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instructions as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you.
So, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he emphasizes the same things that he's been emphasizing here in the book of Ephesians. We are to walk wisely, knowing what the will of the Lord is, being filled with the Word of God, and more importantly, living what the Word of God says. It's not to him that knows the Word of God; it's to him who do the Word of God. So, what is the contrast? And then the instruction that he's giving here in chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And I'll read that for us. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So what is the contrast and then the instruction? What, first of all, what is he telling you not to do? Don't get drunk with wine. Don't get drunk with wine.
Doesn't say don't drink it, just don't, not to excess.
It, not to excess. That is,
I don't know what debauchery is.
That is exactly true. It is the excessive use of wine to the point that it causes drunkenness. He says, "Don't use that because it's debauchery." Debauchery is losing control, surrendering your mind, your ability to reason, just goes out the window, and that can be true of drunkenness, or it can be true of drugs. That's why it talks about the word pharmacy in another passage about the same thing. Well, let's see what other. Don't get drunk. That's the negative side. Don't get drunk. But what's the positive side? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let him control you. Let him control your thoughts. I can tell you, so many times I have had, just be at a crossroad, go this way or go that way, and I've just had the Spirit, words come to my mind, and I just think, okay, this is what I should do. And that's the Spirit of God. And you probably have had that too. You've had the times when you just get a voice in your head and you just know, I need to do this. Be filled with the Spirit. And don't turn away from Him. Proverbs 20, verse 1, and Romans 13, verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 1.
Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise.
Okay, so that's another passage. That's kind of the original passage in Scripture. Tells you, if you want to be unwise, this is how you do it. You surrender your reasoning ability, you surrender your thought processes to the control of wine. Romans 13:13.
Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy.
I don't know if you notice the number of times in all these passages that we have been reading here that it talks about the unwise and so forth, and it consistently what comes up is sexual immorality. It is either first in the list or second. It's just there all the time. And Galatians 5:22-25.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
Now, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And of course, if you live by the Spirit, that's scripture words for being saved. If you live by the Spirit, you live by the Spirit, then you should walk by the Spirit. One of the things that I have drawn great encouragement from, just look at the answers down here. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Address others in psalms, hymns, melody to the Lord. But I like a little bit alternate reading, and it's not exactly what it says here, but make melody to the Lord. It says with your heart, but I like to read it in your heart. Because I don't like to disturb other people. And other people might consider my singing of psalms to be not good. Because the Lord has not blessed me with that gift of singing. But if I do so in my heart, nobody knows but Him. And, you know, to make melody to the Lord using psalms and hymns, that's the stuff right out of the book of Psalms, David's writings particularly, are very rich in that. We ought to live like it. And that's what he says in this passage. If you are living, if you're alive in the Spirit, you ought to walk like it. You ought to walk like it. If people ought to see the way you walk and just mark it down and say, that person is different. I wonder why. And that's why the scripture says, always be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Just be ready to do that. That's evangelists. And how should we give thanks? Verses 20 and 21. Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, there's a lot of theology there, and we'll just unpack this real quickly. Our prayers are to be to whom?
To the Father.
But they are to be to the Father in whose name?
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Do you see how that's all packed right into that one verse? Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So that's why we often put at the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name. And so I'm afraid, and I speak for myself. Sometimes I just get that it's kind of a rote thing, you know. I pray and then I say in Jesus' name. But when you're doing that, if you just remember this verse, and just remember that God has commanded us to do this. He has commanded us to pray to the Father, but to pray to the Father in the Son's name. In other words, I'm coming to you, Father. I'm coming to you with my prayers and my petitions because you have commanded us to do so, but I'm coming because Jesus allows me to do it. He allows
me. It's always a puzzle to me. Who do you talk to? I'm glad to have read that.
Yeah, talk to the Father.
It's worth my trip here today.
Is that right? All right. All right. So, after he says that, always giving thanks for all things to the Father through Jesus, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, you know, he could have just left that off.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, submit to each other. Ow.
Submit to others. If there's an argument between two believers, be the first one to back off. Be the first one to submit to the other.
We always have to be right.
Well, let me rephrase that. If there's an argument between two believers, even though you are right, you be the first one to back off. You be the first one to submit. And why should you do that? The answer is right there in that verse. Why should you be the first one to back down and submit to the other? And what does it say? Do it in the fear of what? In the fear of Jesus Christ. And that happens because if you think of how much he forgave you when you thought you were right and weren't, because he forgave you that, in the fear of him judging you, you be the first one to forgive the other one.
We're not going to pass over verse 22, are we?
No. That's next. We'll do that in January. So for the next two Sundays, you'll have time off to spend with your family, travel, whatever things are there. And don't forget to come to church. There will be multiple services on both Sundays. And you can just get up later on Sunday morning, and instead of coming to class, you can come to church. Father, thank you so much. Your word is so good, and you're by your Spirit are just so encouraging to us. You want us to live for you. You want us to live by you. You want us to live by your Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us each one, because we're so weak. We're so inundated by all the things of this world. And we just pray that your Spirit and your Word would just take root and change the way we walk. May we walk worthy of you. And may you bless our time over these next few weeks. May you put your peace upon our country. May you bless our church. May you bless each family represented. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. We trust it all to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I don't know.